Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And be sure to add our podcast, The Injured List, in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the host of the Injured List podcast, Brian Scott.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the room. Let's get this party started. Anybody have any questions they want to know or questions to ask, I should say, please come on up. Raise your hand. Ask away. Want to know about your favorite injured athletes? Want to know what's going on with them, whether or not to start them on your roster? This is your chance. Here, we're going to get the game on in the background here, the Thursday night game, Washington versus the New York Giants. So we'll have that playing in the back once we get started here, if we're still live, which we are. We're live and recording. This is going to be a podcast episode that I will release tomorrow morning. So if you miss anything tonight, feel free to jump on tomorrow and listen on any of your favorite podcast outlets, wherever you get your podcasts from. You can find me on that streaming service, the Injured List podcast. Thank you. So welcome. Anybody that wants to come in and have questions about their favorite athletes, whether it be just as a fan or if you got some fantasy football stuff that you want to try and figure out, or if you're making some bets on the game, want to know what the chances are of a player starting and doing well, this is your chance to ask away. And been going to be doing this every week on Thursday evenings at about 7 p.m., so feel free to tune in. Raise your hand feature is on. So if you want to come up to the stage, ask some questions, raise your hand. We'll bring you up. Now is your chance. And Giants got some injuries of their own. Evan Engram out. Probably going to be out for a while, given this gentleman's injury history. Saquon Barkley played last week, had about 10 carries, didn't look so hot. And if you listened before, that's what I said. He's coming back from an ACL and meniscus tear surgery, and the likelihood of him being as explosive and powerful as he was before is not very high, because first game in over a year, and he looked a little rusty, which is what I expected for at least a few weeks here. Apparently was listed as questionable heading into tonight's game, probably due to the short rest period, because they're not playing on a Thursday after playing on a Sunday afternoon late. So that wouldn't surprise me if he doesn't suit up. If he does, I'm sure he's probably going to see some limited action. I don't think he'll have more than the 10 carries he had last week, unless he starts showing some crazy, crazy bursts of speed and energy and demands it or commands it. But otherwise, I don't think we'll see much more out of him than we did last week. So that's one example. And plenty of others to go around. I know there's a lot of teams that are dealing with injuries of their own. Obviously, Fitzpatrick or Fitzmagic will not be playing for Washington. He's out with a hip injury. I haven't heard the details of his hip injury, but apparently it's significant enough that he's going to miss several weeks from what they've been reporting. Could be something simple like a little hip pointer. Could be a groin strain. Probably not anything serious, but probably significant enough that it's hampering him quite a bit, causing him to have to miss some time. So kind of curious if you guys are Washington fans and you want to know what is going on with him, provide me some information and I'll try and give you the best answers that I can based on what we hear and read in the press. Keep in mind, I'm just going off the same stuff that you guys are going off of. I don't have any behind the scenes input or knowledge of anything. I'm not in the NFL, I don't work in the NFL, but I do work in sports medicine and orthopedic surgery, so I know a lot about these injuries. I know a lot about the most common injuries that occur. I know about the ways we go about treating them and what the recovery times are and what to expect when guys are coming off these types of injuries. So I have a vast knowledge of this stuff, been doing it for about 20 years now. With that being said, if you guys want to come up on stage, raise your hand and I will get you up here and you can ask away. When you come up, I just ask that you introduce yourself, ask about the player, and give me some injury information. If I don't know about it, I can't help you. And I don't know everybody's injury status. I can't follow everyone's injury status. So I do the best I can with the time I got and what I know. So if you guys want to come up on stage, now's your chance. And again, I got the game on in the background and watching on the NFL game day kickoff on the NFL Network. So that's what I have on in the back here. Come on in. Ask away. I don't like calling on people, but I might have to start bringing people up if you've got questions. Fresh King of Philly. Used to live in Philly for a little bit. Got anything you want to ask? Any players you need information on?
Hey, yeah, man. You know what? I came in from the very beginning, but I was actually doing something. So I heard you talking I heard you talk about the Giants and Washington game. And, you know, I'm in about 30 big money leagues. I'm worried about Saquon.
So, yeah, you should
you
be.
Know, you got any, you got any information on Saquon, not only for this week, but, you know, moving forward.
So I would be very worried about him, too. I've been worried about him since he got hurt last year. And, you know, what came about later with regards to his injury was that apparently not only did he have the ACL reconstructed, but he also had a meniscus repair, which of the two things regarding those injuries, that's probably the more worrisome of the two. ACL reconstructions have been pretty well perfected over the years. The problem with the meniscus injuries is that those don't often take very well. They don't often heal as intended. They don't have good success. There's not very good outcomes. And that's not any part of the fault of the surgeons. It's just physiology. And what usually causes the rehab to take so long and probably why it took him so long to get back on the field under game-like conditions.
So is it the physical contact of the body blows that your average running back takes during the game, or is it the jump cuts that he's going to be making that I should be worried about with the meniscus?
All the above, unfortunately. <Okay. laughs> It's all the above. I mean, the meniscus are basically like the two shock absorbers in your knee. Those are the structures that prevent and protect the cartilage of the knee from getting damaged. And when you start having cartilage damage in the knee, that's problematic. That's basically what arthritis is. And once you start getting arthritis as an NFL football player, your days are quickly numbered. So anytime you plant, twist, change direction, you're putting stress on those meniscus structures. And if the repair was significant, and depending on what type of tear, where the tear was in on the meniscus, like location-wise, then the success of these repairs is not very good. And it's just a matter of time to see whether or not it actually bothers him. So I was concerned when I read earlier today that he was actually listed as questionable. I think that has a lot to do with the short turnaround time from Sunday's late afternoon game to Thursday night game.
Right.
So, when we did the preseason draft stuff and we did last week's talk, I had said that I would be hesitant to take him high first round this year, that I would probably wait to see if he slipped down a little bit before nabbing him for your fantasy.
You know what? He slipped to me at the top of the second round. I had the first pick in the second round. So I had you know, went and grabbed Pat Mahomes early. And then, you know, I seen Saquon was starting to slip. And I was like, you know, it's, you know, top-notch running back. I know he's coming off an injury, but,
yeah,
you know, worth taking with, you know, and I ended up grabbing Nick Chubb and Aaron Jones later. So,
oh, I totally agree with that. Was a good move on your part. I think it's, it's hard to not put him on your bench at least, right? It's not, it's hard to not, right, to pass up a guy like him in the early second round if you have the opportunity to grab him. Because there's, it's a long season, and they've still got a lot of time left.
I don't know. I would not have grabbed Saquon, and I'm a Giants fan, till at least the fourth round.
Oh, that's assuming he lasts that long, though.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way, you know, somebody of his body, his level of athleticism lasts even out of... I'm surprised he lasted to the second round.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, y'all kids don't know what y'all doing.
Listen, the problem with that, he may have slipped to the fourth round, but the issue is, like, we didn't really get to see him in action. He didn't do anything in the preseason. He barely suited up for full contact practice. So it's hard to really gauge where he's going to be at. So unless you knew that going in, unless you had that ability to kind of see with your own eyes where he was physically, it's hard to pass him up that early.
It's understandable.
You know, I've been very, I don't want to say pessimistic, but I've been cautiously optimistic about his recovery and where he's going to be at, especially at this point in the season. Barring any major setbacks, any major problems or complications, I think he'll come around to being at least somewhat of a shell of what he was. I don't know if we're going to see the explosive Saquon breaking off 80, 75-yard runs that we saw a few years ago. But, you know, even like a Saquon at 85% of him, his former self, is still better than a lot of other running backs in this league and can still compete at a very high level and be very productive. So we'll have to see how it plays out, but I would definitely tread cautiously with using him as a go-to guy in your league, in your roster.
Yeah, you know what? And I started to bench him this week and in certain leagues. Like, I know in one of my Yahoo leagues, you know, I had drafted, I took Saquon and I ended up taking Najee Harris. And then later in the draft, I took Javonte Williams. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, though, this is a redraft league. So, you know, players like that aren't, you know, players that, you know, necessarily be drafted. But I took Javonte Williams for, you know, a reason like this.
Yeah.
So now I ended up benching Saquon for essentially for Javonte Williams.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a bad move. I got Javonte Williams on my roster. I went a little wide receiver heavy this year. I had some pretty bad luck with running backs last year, including this year, too. I just lost Raheem Mostert again because he had an injury to his knee, and he had cartilage injury to his knee. Apparently chipped a piece of cartilage off, and it's floating around his knee, which is never a good thing you want to hear. Probably, they're saying 6 to 8 week recovery for him. I'd be shocked.
You know what?
If he's back.
I actually, I seen a report earlier or yesterday, I believe. I'm not sure if you got a chance to check it out yet, but he actually is getting
surgery,
knee-ending surgery.
Yeah,
and he's going to be out for the season.
That's exactly what I would expect to hear. So when I heard this, that's what I was trying to say. When I heard the 6 to 8 weeks, I was like, "There's no way. There's no way that dude's not going to have surgery for that. Like, there's just no way." So
right, and a player like Raheem Mostert, you know, he has an extensive knee injury history problem to begin with.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting him to really last a long time anyway. I know, you know, not to keep bringing it back to fantasy football, but in one of my leagues, I even made a big splash trade to go grab Joe Mixon for that very reason.
Yeah.
Or you know what? I grabbed Dalvin Cook. I already had Joe Mixon. I went and grabbed Dalvin Cook because I was going into the season with Raheem Mostert being my second running back, and I just wasn't comfortable with that.
Yeah, you made a smart move.
History.
I don't know. I got a glimpse of him in the preseason. He looked great, and I thought he would last at least more than two carries. Unfortunately, he did not.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, but yeah, man. I mean, you know, this is the nature of the sport. Unfortunately, things take a sudden and quick, drastic turn very easily. It could take one play, and this is what happens. A lot of other injuries happen this first week. There's been quite a few, and I'm not even talking about the stuff that happened prior to week one, like with the Ravens running back situation and all that stuff. You look at the New York Jets, just since we're talking about Washington and New York, the Jets lost Mekhi Becton. Sounds like he had a dislocated kneecap and possibly a ligament injury. He's probably going to be sidelined for quite a while, probably a couple months at least. Hopefully he'll avoid any type of surgical treatment. It sounds like he may have also injured some cartilage in his knee as a result of that patella dislocation. That could be very problematic for a guy his size having to play on the line. So not a good thing for the Jets, especially when you've got your rookie quarterback sensation up back there now. You know, all pro lineman in Mekhi Becton, the guy that basically anchored that line. So that's a pretty significant blow to the Jets front line. There was a couple other injuries that occurred. I think the and you guys can probably help me more with this. So if you know of any other ones, let me know.
But let's talk about Ryan. Let's talk about Ryan Fitzmagic.
Oh yeah, how could I forget Fitzmagic?
Or Fitztragic, as I call him.
Yeah, it depends how you look at it.
You can't call Ryan Fitztragic because you know what? Last season he did all right. He did all right. He did all right last season. Got the Dolphins to the playoffs.
He's been injured. Yes, I can call him that.
Well, again, this is a guy that, you know, whether he's injured or not, he doesn't seem to last more than a half a season, no matter what's going on. He either sputters out and goes from being great to subpar and then gets substituted out or replaced, or he gets injured. And in this case, he's injured.
Well, you know what? Last season, you can't really blame that on him. I think it was the Dolphins with Tua trying to figure out, okay, do we got this guy?
I agree with that one season, but that's one season through a career.
That's true. Ryan brings a good point there.
So wait, I believe he has a dislocated hip or some sort of.
Is that what they said? I don't know. All I heard was hip injury, and I haven't seen much more detail other than that.
You know, I forgot the exact name of it.
Did they say hip pointer?
Hip injury. It wasn't a hip pointer. It was a much bigger word that I'm forgetting the name of.
Let me take
of.
A look. I can look it up here while we're chatting and see if I can find any more.
But it's an injury that's going to cause him to miss. I think I've seen a report that
he's having surgery
the entire season.
Oh, he might have tore his labrum. Did he tear his labrum? Let's see.
I don't think. I'm going to have to look up the word.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. Let's see. There's NBC Sports is reporting that he's having surgery on his hip.
Right.
Oh, he had a subluxation. Okay.
Yeah. So, see, that's the word I was thinking of, but I didn't want to say it. It sounds stupid.
No. That's the word. So that's pretty bad, actually. That's okay. So that's not as bad as having a dislocation, but essentially what it is before your hip dislocates, it subluxes, meaning it popped out, but popped out in spontaneously. So he was damn near close to dislocating his hip, which is what happened to Tua back in college.
Right.
And that's problematic. Right.
And at this point in Ryan Fitzpatrick's career, like we're starting to see Tua bounce back. But at this point, Fitzpatrick's career, like how much does he have in the tank? I know, you know, the numbers are pointing upwards where it seems like he seems to be getting better as he's going along, like Tom Brady, not on the same trajectory as, you know, obviously, but in the sense where, you know, he's putting up better numbers. But like I said, at this point in his career with that kind of injury and the severity of it, and then on top of it, you throw in surgery.
Oh, it's not good.
It's going to take to come back from it. Like, you know,
how old is he now? Is he like 35, 36?
No, actually, I think he's even older than that. I think, is he? I believe he's 37, going to be 38.
This, you're going to hear it here first. This could be the beginning of the end for Ryan Fitzmagic. Those are tough surgeries to bounce back from. Any type of hip surgery, when you're talking about that particular part of the hip anatomy, which usually entails some type of labrum repair, which is the stuff that kind of stabilizes the hip socket. When you have a subluxation of the hip, it basically means that the hip joint, basically the ball popped out of the socket and then spontaneously popped back in. But the problem is you usually damage something along the way. And in this case, it's usually the labrum. And when that happens, that's a problem. And that often requires surgery. But the problem with that is the surgeries are very difficult to bounce back from. Especially when you get older in your career and you've been out there doing this type of thing for a while, and it's football. So not good news if you're a Ryan Fitzpatrick fan or if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that's a bummer. That must have came to light after they got an MRI this week, because I didn't hear about that until just now. So unfortunate for him, not good news. That's not good. Ryan's going to be out.
You know what? Ryan Fitzpatrick is 38 years old for November 24th. So turning 39.
Start
digging the ditch.
That's bad.
The career's over.
I would not be surprised if this is the ultimate nail in the coffin, or I should say, well, I hate using that term because it implies much worse things, but you know what?
I think I don't even know if I would go ultimate because I think it's the first nail in the coffin, but I think this is I think you will. You could see Fitzpatrick play again, but the Fitzpatrick that we know, I don't give it more than another season or two.
Is going to take him a long time to bounce back from. The recovery time usually for this is at least nine to 12 months.
Ryan that we know, it is barely hanging on to second string jobs mostly. Right. So he's out of the league.
Well, he was starting. He's been starting for the past, couple of seasons.
Come on, we know that's not a QB one.
I don't think is it a franchise quarterback though? But can he start for 1 year for a team that has?
Wait, did you just say 1 year?
No, I think it's just a matter of him capitalizing on opportunities that kind of came his way and were kind of put in front of him.
Right, I think that's exactly what he is. But I think people get caught up on a narrative that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a terrible quarterback, and I don't happen to agree with that. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick is a solid 1 year starting quarterback, a bridge quarterback, like an Andy Dalton kind of quarterback, just a quarterback that you like. If you have a young guy, right, like a Zach Wilson, if you have a young guy and you wanted to play Ryan Fitzpatrick for a year with the Jets, just to see what he can do with those young weapons that they have. Sure, mm-hmm. I'll take that. So can Ryan Fitzpatrick bounce back from this injury and potentially start for another team down the road for one season? Yeah, I can see that.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with you there. I had you right up until that very last statement. He's okay. He's okay. He's an NFL quarterback. He's probably better served now in your locker room or in your quarterback meeting room than on the field actually taking snaps.
That's your QB coach.
But after coming back from something like this at the age of 38, that's going to be really, really tough.
It's going to be difficult, and I think it's going to be – I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to put up the numbers that he's going to put up, but I do stand on the fact that
– Let him stand on the sideline and coach QBs.
Yeah.
All right. Can that be his role too?
Absolutely. I think in some cases, some guys are better served doing that. They actually are more valuable in that role. And a guy like Fitzmagic, with all the experience he's had, being all the places he's had and having to go through some of the things he's had, can probably cultivate a young quarterback much better than some of these coaches that are out there who have no experience with the position at all, why not? Like, I'd rather have him like that. I mean, you look at a guy like Alex Smith, he served in that role when he was coming back from his injury, and may actually serve in that role now going forward, now that he retired with that horrible leg injury. And that's a guy I'd want in my locker room, wouldn't you? I mean, Fitzmagic, I'd take him along with Alex Smith. Yeah, absolutely. Those two.
Bring him to Philadelphia. Yeah. Coach up Jalen Hurts a little bit. I mean, I know Fitzpatrick isn't really a running style quarterback.
Jalen's doing just fine right now.
Wouldn't hurt to have a guy like Fitzmagic.
Against a below average defense, he's doing just fine. Well, there is one. There is one.
Everybody wants to forget about the two games Jalen played last year, but that's okay.
Well, it's a fresh start. Everyone's giving him a fresh start. That's fair. I mean, come on, he's a rookie. He was a rookie. Yeah.
My point being, Jalen played really good
against another below average defense in the Cardinals. I'll give you the Ravens game. The Ravens game, he surprised me a little bit.
That's my whole point. People want to forget about that game.
Yeah. It never happened. I believe they were down big in that game, and he ended up bringing them back. And
people want to forget about Week 17, where he was actually playing well. He was bringing them back.
Right.
When he got
the team that had playoff aspirations. I believe it was it the Giants they were playing Week 17?
No, it was not the Giants. But if they had won, the Giants would have been in.
Right. That's right. That's right. And they had pulled Jalen Hurts in that game.
And Jalen was actually bringing them back at the time, which is the ironic part to that.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like the Eagles look like they're in good shape.
About Jalen.
Eagles look like they're in good shape as far as injuries go. I don't think they're losing any major players. Like, I think what Zach Ertz
I believe Zach
down.
Ertz has a questionable tag going into this week.
Yeah.
But outside of that, no.
Yeah. So they're in good shape. I mean, anything.
Landon Dickerson looks like he's recovering well from his injury.
So,
and I know last week he wasn't questioned. I believe last week he was activated.
Oh, you just said the bat. Landon Dickerson. I did a big spread on him in my preseason NFL draft injury analysis, and he was one of the major guys I discussed. He's got an extensive injury history before he even got into college.
right.
Oh, he's blown out both knees and had some pretty other significant injuries and lost a lot of time in his collegiate career. So hopefully that dude, as he matures a little bit, maybe his body will mature a little bit with him and he won't be so prone to injury, but the dude's been injury prone for a while. It's supposed to be amazing when he's out there. Problem is getting him out there and keeping him out there.
Right. Yeah, no, that's understandable. It's looking like he's getting healthier. From what I'm seeing, as far as like, you know, just this season, because the Eagles, you know, they got him on their active roster. They got him listed as healthy going into this week. You know, he's going to be a backup guard, probably to start off, almost a swing lineman, play, you know, either guard position or center.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a valuable piece to Philadelphia for some of the stuff they like to do, getting that six big body on that line to help for some of these wheel routes that Miles Sanders likes to do. So I'm interested to see what he could do in the game plan and interested to see if he could stay healthy moving forward.
Yeah, I think that's the big question.
He's a very versatile player.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy's like freakishly athletic for his size. If you ever watch some of the interviews that he's done or some of the former teammates that he's had who have been interviewed in the background, he's like doing cartwheels and like somersaults,
right?
And at a guy his size, he does it he makes it look pretty easy. So he's pretty agile, pretty athletic for a dude his size. Again, it just comes down to injuries and staying healthy with him. So like I said, maybe, you know, get a year older, a couple years older here, a little more mature physically, maybe different training regimen, working with some of the strength and conditioning staff with the Eagles. You know, maybe that'll serve him good and keep him fresh and get him back on the field and keep him there where he belongs. So I'll have to see how that plays out. But definitely interested to see how he does once he's out there, because apparently when he is out there, he's a stud and was very highly ranked as far as interior linemen go, but just never could get past that injury issue. And a lot of teams shied away from him because of it during the draft and the combine and stuff. So
yeah, even being ranked as, you know, I'm a big combine guy, big pre-draft guy. He was being ranked by some of the top guys, you know, like Mel Kiper, as a late second or late first round pick.
Yeah.
And I did see him, or you know, I would say top 20s was the earliest I've seen him going. But the fact that he was even viewed as a first round pick,
yeah,
you know, speaks volumes about how people see him as far as his athleticism, despite the injury history.
Yeah.
Because you see guys like, you know, Dalvin Cook, guys like, DK Metcalf, who struggled with injuries a little bit in college or in high school, you know, fall into that second round. Dalvin Cook was projected to go as high as, the top 14 when he was drafted. But with this, I believe he had a shoulder injury that kept him out of the first round altogether. And then, Minnesota, unfortunately, jumped Philly and took him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it happens with a lot of guys.
I have trouble taking Mel Kiper seriously. No, because Mel's been so wrong so often.
And a lot of people say that. You're not the only one.
That taking Mel seriously, I just can't.
You know, it was just that was just one of the names that just happened to pop into my head. I've seen him in a few mock drafts before the season, before the draft started, where Landon Dickerson was going, you know, 22nd or 23rd, and I was just, you know, this dude. And then I ended up looking up his game tape, and you could see why the athleticism is there, the ability to get out on some of those linebackers, because not every guard can move as fast as Landon can move, where, you know, you're 300 pounds moving at 4'7" and being able to get out on some of those fast linebackers to help your running back.
Yeah. No,
or a guy like Jalen Hurts to help that scrambling quarterback. A guy like Landon Dickerson with Jalen Hurts is going to be the most indispensable piece, because nobody else on that line is as fast as him.
Right.
Yep. Yep. For sure, man. They'll definitely benefit from his return. hopefully for them it's sooner rather than later. And yeah, I forget what injury. He's coming off like an ACL, isn't he?
Yep. ACL injury, I believe, is exactly what he's coming off of.
Yeah.
Big time knee injury. And, you know, it sucks. But fortunately for him, the signs of ACL injuries are documented. And it seems like, you know, ACL injuries over the years, players are coming back from them a lot faster and being able to return to their previous forms.
Well, you know what helps him is I think he actually had one on the other knee fixed too. So he's been through this once. And
right.
It looks like he's, you know, that helps for sure. Kind of know what to expect. I haven't been through it. So that right. helps. But yeah, ACL surgery has right. come a long way in a short
time. And that's
time.
The thing that worries people about McCaffrey this year is that ACL and coming back from that.
No, Christian McCaffrey?
Yeah, Christian.
No. He had a AC joint separation. Yeah, it's a shoulder injury. He had a high ankle sprain and he had a AC joint injury last year that kept him out. Not
okay.
any. Yeah.
I thought part of that was an ACL.
Not to my knowledge, unless I missed something. But shoulder injury, AC joint injury, which is not, it's a ligament, but it's a shoulder ligament. Right. Not in the shoulder joint, it's a different area of the shoulder. But most guys in football will probably have that at some point in their career and bounce back easily from that. But as far as I know, he didn't have any major knee injury. So let me...
Go ahead,
Brian. I was just going to reset the room. And, you know, hey, if you guys have any other guys you want to ping in here, please feel free to do so.
Yeah, I'm actually just finishing up these last five lineups that I got to set for my fantasy league. Then I'm going to start pinging in some people.
Yeah, please do. I know there's a lot more questions out there, I'm sure, because there's a lot of guys that are dealing with stuff and have been listed, you know, on the injury reports during the week as day-to-day or questionable.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to ask you guys. Speaking of a guy that's coming back from injury, Will Fuller. I'm a lot of my leagues. I'm looking at who I got in at receiver and like, are they better than Will Fuller or is Will Fuller better than them? And if it's more like a horizontal kind of thing, I'm putting the guy in over Will Fuller. But I got a guy here in Emmanuel Sanders that I'm not a, like, you know, he had a solid week last week. I think he can do more. But would you guys? Well, who would you put in there? Will Fuller or Emmanuel Sanders? Well, Will Fuller coming off the injury, but having an opportunity against, I believe they're playing the Colts. Are you playing the Colts?
What was he out for? Was he the one that was found
Will
to
Fuller,
have?
Oh, you know what? Never mind.
Was he performance enhancing?
Suspension. That's right. It wasn't an injury. It was suspension.
Was he suspended performance enhancing? Yeah, that's what I right. thought. Yeah. Right.
So.
Well, you got to wonder. So, you know, whenever I hear a player having gone through that, the next thing I wonder is how much did that really enhance their performance on the field? And usually the evidence of that becomes very apparent very quickly. Because for some people in some sports, performance enhancing drugs can make the difference between being an all-pro or being a second tier guy. And sometimes you don't know that until they've gone off the juice and they're suspended or have to come back from a suspension and suddenly they don't have that extra boost that they had before. And, you know, the other thing that guys often will take, the other thing that guys will often take those performance enhancing stuff for, and they don't really specify what those drugs were, is to help speed up recovery and stay healthy.
Right.
So that's another thing you got to worry about. Was this guy trying to maybe mask some injuries that he was dealing with and trying to recover?
You know what? And there's even, I mean, they even list marijuana as a performance enhancing drug. But, so he could have just been smoking a little bit of, you know, a little bit of pot and been put on, you know, been suspended because of that. So.
Possible.
According to Megatron, and if you listen to Megatron's statement, it technically is.
Marijuana being
right? Because Megatron talked about how when he was in the NFL, he smoked after every game to deal with the mental.
Yeah. Oh well.
You have to deal with the mental, that is now performance enhancing.
Oh yeah. Well, aside along with that, it also has a lot of physical benefits. I mean, there's no secret about marijuana's medicinal benefits for people with chronic pains and, you know, recovering from major surgeries or having gone through cancer treatments and all kinds of stuff. I mean, it has a known physiological effect and psychological effect. And for individual athletes, I mean, it affects everybody differently. For the stuff, that's what they need. That's what gets them through. So absolutely.
My point is a lot of people want to go, oh, it's not performance enhancing. Right. Well, according to Megatron's own statements, which we now have, that shifts now. Now it kind of looks more like it is.
Well, I'm sure he's not the first one that would probably tell you that. Maybe he's the first one to kind of out openly said it.
He's the first one to go.
Right.
that was open on record.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he's the first one to do that, but I'm sure behind the scenes or behind closed doors, you'd probably hear that from most of these guys.
Oh, I would agree.
Yeah. So, I mean, being in the medical field, I'm not surprised. I mean, we know that that's what it does and that's what it's for and that's what people use it for. You know. But we know it's illegal in sport and some guys are probably doing it and getting away with it. And that's been kind of the nature of the beast for years and years and years in many, many sports. So, but let me reset the room here because I want to see if we can get more people up. We got Kristen down there in the audience if she wants to come up. You're listening to the Injured List podcast. I'm your host, Brian.